Brother Roddy.
Good evening. It's good to be with you again this evening and be able to sing the songs of the season. When some years ago, and my late brother Paul was in college at Clearwater Christian College, they had a radio station that used to play every Saturday morning. Every Saturday morning, they played Christmas carols. At least, you know, they said it was too good to have Christmas carols. So they had a 15-minute Christmas carol every Saturday morning. It was so nice to hear during the year. And we look forward to that season when we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. But, you know, you can't have Christmas and not have Easter, because they go together. The Scripture says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Just a couple of verses this evening from the book of Jeremiah in chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. We've heard these verses before, but may the Lord bless His word to our hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, or I test the mind, is another translation, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Lord, in the stillness of this hour, speak to our hearts, we pray. Help us, Lord, not just to listen, but to listen as the Holy Spirit would seek to impart and break to us the bread of life. And we pray that we might not just hear, but especially for those here tonight who have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that this will be their night of salvation. They will understand and realize the Lord says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. May this be their portion today and tonight. We pray that we ask your blessing upon the word in the Savior's precious name. Amen. One of the problems that a lot of people face medically is a heart condition. Some, in fact, over the last several years, as some of you know, I have not lost, I've gone before, but lost a brother. We say that, use that term, through a heart attack. And a brother-in-law. Both very sudden, unexpected. Both young men, younger men. They were here one moment, and then they're gone the next. Some of you have experienced physical heart attacks. But when the Scripture speaks of the heart here, it's not talking about that little organ that is so faithful to us. That muscle that keeps the heart, the blood flowing through the body. When it talks about the heart here, he is talking about the spiritual condition of man. When the prophet writes these words, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He's talking about the condition of the human heart, the human person or the human being. The Bible tells us and teaches us that man has a spiritual heart condition. It is a condition that is transferred from one person to another. Now, there are some illnesses. A heart condition is sometimes hereditary. I had a dear sister tell me many years ago that she knew in her family there was a history of strokes. So she tried to guard against that by a good diet. A stroke did not come to take her, but it was cancer. But you see, the heart the spiritual heart condition is a condition that is passed on from one person to another. And not one person in the world that is born into the world ever escapes having a spiritual heart condition. It's not something that you could try to avoid. Because the Scripture says,
that when we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So we are born with this spiritual heart condition. The Bible also says in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And so when we think about the heart condition, there are several things I want to mention about the spiritual heart condition. Number one, it is a deceived heart. I can also use the word deceitful. It says so in this passage here. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the question is asked, who can know it? Well, the Lord says in the next verse, I know the heart of man. Man was deceived in the Garden of Eden by Satan. Satan is a deceiver. Satan seeks to deceive, and he continues to deceive. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, when he spoke to the religious leaders, he said, you are of your father, the devil. He said, the works of your father you do. He is a liar and the father of lies, and he is a murderer. And so it is that people, every person that's born into this world is born with a spiritual heart condition. Deceived. I said last week, and I say it again, and I talk to people, not only here, but in our communities, wherever I go, it is amazing how many people think they can play with sin and get away with it. They are duped by the devil into believing that it'll not happen to them. They're duped by the devil into believing that they can play with sin and come out unscathed. They can play with a bad habit. And whenever they want, they can break it. The problem with that is that once that gets a hold of them, they cannot break it. They have been deceived. The heart is a deceived heart. Young people, don't think you can play around with sin. You're going to get caught. The Bible says, lust when it is conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin when it is finished, it brings forth death. And you're not going to escape it. Because the heart of man is deceived by the devil, and it is deceived into thinking, I can be the exception to the rule. But you can't. So some people think, as so many young men and women say, well, I'm going to sow my wild oats. I will have a word, I have a scripture for you. The Bible says, if you sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The heart of man is a deceived heart. You know, when Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan, she was deceived. Adam deliberately took the fruit. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But when that happened, the Bible tells us that they understood what had happened. They realized they were naked, and they tried to cover their nakedness by sewing fig leaves together. And of course, when the Lord called in the cool of the garden, in the cool of the evening, the first time you find God asking, he says, where art thou? We're hiding. But the problem is that men still continue to try to cover up their set themselves. They know they've been deceived. They know that they're a sinner. And I don't know how many people, when you ask them the question, well, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Well, I'm as good as a lot of other people. I'm better than some of those Christians, professing Christians in the church. But that's not the question. You see, they've been deceived to thinking, well, I'm not as bad as some people, so I should be all right. The Bible says the heart is a deceived heart. And I don't care how smart and how brilliant you may think you are. You cannot change the fact that the Scripture says the heart of man is deceitful above all things, and not only so, desperately wicked. But in God's Word, the heart of man is not only a deceived heart, it is a darkened heart. In the book of Ephesians, The Apostle Paul writes these words in chapter 4. He speaks about the fact that the heart has been, the understanding has been darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all manner of uncleanliness with godlessness. The heart of man is not only a deceived heart, it is a darkened heart. The book of Romans, chapter 1, tells us this in verse 21. It says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart became darkened, or was darkened. And when God looks at the human heart, the real you, as it were, your person, God says it's not only a deceived heart, but it's a heart that's been darkened by sin. If you take and read that first chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 18 until the very end of the chapter, you will see that God paints a very grim picture of the heart of man. He says in verse 24, wherefore, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. It also says because they made images out of the created things, they turned away from God and they worshiped idols. They worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. And so the Scripture says that wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness. That's a picture of the human heart. I don't want to talk about this too much tonight, but the Bible tells us that God gave them up unto vile affection. And although the world wants to make it right, it's still wrong in God's sight. The fact of the sin of homosexuality. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 that they did not retain God in their knowledge. And the Bible says God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which were not convenient. It's a picture of the heart of man. It goes on to say being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, and so on. That's a picture of a heart that is darkened by sin. And so today, in our world, the things that God says are sin and are an abomination to Him, man says, it's all right. The heart of man is so twisted and so darkened and deceived by sin that today wrong is right and right is wrong, and people are promoting filthy, vile lifestyles. I want to remind you, friends, that the Bible says the wrath of God has been revealed in Romans 1:18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in ungodliness. It's a darkened heart. But as God speaks about the heart of man in the Bible, it is not only a deceived heart, it is not only a darkened heart, but it's also a defiled heart. The Lord Jesus said one day, you know, the religious leaders were so, of the Jews, they were so quick to talk about what they did outwardly. And the Lord Jesus looked at them And he said, you're just a bunch of whitewashed tombs. You look pretty on the outside, but inside there is defilement. And then he said in Mark's Gospel, I think chapter 7, he said, for from within, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, the very first thing. The scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And the very first thing the Lord Jesus speaks about is evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murder, deceit, lust, pride, foolishness, he says, and the list goes on. He says, all of these come from within and defile the man. You see, the religious leaders were so very careful about observing the Jewish dietary laws. And one day they said, you know, your disciples are not eating with unwashed hands. Not that they hadn't washed their hands, but they hadn't gone through all of the ceremony that was supposed to be done in washing the hands. And the Lord Jesus responded, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of him. The heart of man is deceitful. It's deceived. It's darkened. It's defiled. You know, there are a lot of people who try to change themselves. A lot of folks that try to turn over a new leaf. I tell the folks, you know, one of the problems about turning over a new leaf, it always flips back a few pages and goes back to the old things. You can't change yourself. You can't turn over a new leaf. You see, you can try to reform yourself. There are some people, you know, you talk to them, they said, well, you know, I'm trying to drop this sin. I'm trying to get rid of that sin so I can be better and come to the Lord. And the more people try to turn over a new leaf and try to help themselves, the worse they get. Because the heart of man is not only a deceived heart, not only a darkened heart, but it's also defiled. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ looked at that very moral, very nice, very religious Nicodemus and said, you must be born again. What? The Lord Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why? Because the heart of man is deceived. It is darkened and it is defiled. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can change and transform the guilty, hell-deserving, lost sinner. You can try to clean up the heart. You can try to clean up your act and do it better. But remember Brother Ed Allen, we preaching in a crusade one time, you know, he's talking about these people who like to try to, you know, reform themselves and go to church and start to do better. He says, you know, you go down to the pigsty and you take a pig and you bring it up and you take it and wash it off and clean it up, get all the grime and the stuff off the pigsty. And dress it up, put a little cologne, a perfume on it, and sit it in a chair in the house and say, now, Piggy, don't go to that again. We've cleaned you up. Don't go back and do that anymore. He says, the first chance you get, that pig's going to be back in the pigsty. You know why? Because its nature is that, to go there. And there are folks who try to reform themselves and try to do better. And you know what? They go right back. And the trouble is that the condition is worse than before because they've never dealt with the real condition that the heart is not only deceived, not only is it darkened, but it is defiled. And you cannot cleanse a defiled heart. You cannot enlighten a darkened heart. And you cannot change a heart that's been deceived. You can try all you like. You're only going to get worse and worse every time. You see, the change of the heart doesn't come by our works. That's why the Bible says, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, there is an answer to the heart condition of man, the spiritual heart condition of man. It's not reformation, it's transformation. You have to be changed from within, you know. And David was writing in Psalm 51. He had sinned and the Lord had dealt with him about it. And he writes that psalm of confession. But he said in Psalm 51, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." The heart is not only a deceived heart, not only a darkened heart, not only a defiled heart, but it's also a heart that God has diagnosed. He says in verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I examine it. I try or examine the mind, the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." God has looked down into the heart of man, and he has diagnosed it as being defiled. He has diagnosed it as being darkened and being deceived. God says, "I know what's in the heart of man. I know what needs to be done with the heart of man." And there may be someone here tonight, and I'm saying this loving, you may have made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but your life has not changed. I want to ask you a question tonight. Has your heart been changed? Do you know what it means to have the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life? For only He can change that darkened heart, that defiled heart, and that deceived heart. You see, God is the great spiritual heart specialist. When you have a heart condition, you go to a specialist in the physical realm. But praise God. Oh, the Lord is the great heart specialist as far as the spiritual condition is concerned, man's spiritual condition. And you know the thing about it is that God knows every detail about us. He knows exactly what's going through our minds as we sit here. He knows what we're going to do when we leave here. And He knows what we did last night and the day before. And so on. There is a verse in the book of Proverbs. It says in Proverbs 15 and 1. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." You heard the little story, the little humorous story about the father and his son. It was a hot day. They came across this watermelon field with a fence around it. His father said, "Now," he looked all up there down the road. He says, "Now, you watch here and call me when you're coming. I want to get a watermelon." Just about Daddy was to jump the fence. He said, "Daddy, you didn't look in one place." "Where was that?" "See, you didn't look up." Daddy never went over the fence. You see, he thought that only had to worry about man, but you know, God knows everything. So God knows our heart. You may be able to hide what's in that heart of yours from your parents, a boyfriend from his girlfriend, or whatever the case may be, but let me tell you something. God has diagnosed the heart, and He knows just what's there. And He says, that heart is sick. That heart is desperately wicked. That heart needs to be changed. That heart needs to be transformed. God's diagnosis is always right, and it's found in His Word. You know, there's a verse in Romans 14 and verse 12. And folks start talking to me about, you know, and pointing fingers. I said, I have a verse for you. Before you start pointing a finger at somebody else, the scripture says in Romans 14 and 12, so then, every one of us is going to give an account of himself to God. And so we're going to stand before the Lord one day. And if this heart that is wicked and defiled and darkened and deceived is not changed, if we do not have a spiritual heart transplant, then in a coming day, we can talk and boast as much as we like, but in a coming day, if you're not saved, when you stand before the Lord, he will say, depart from me, you who work iniquity, I never knew you. And God's judgment will be right, and God's judgment will be proper. You can deceive other people, but God has had put you on his spiritual X-ray machine, and he says you've got a bad heart, and it needs to be changed. You can't change it. You need a spiritual new heart to be given to you. Praise God. God has provided a remedy for that deceived heart, for that darkened heart, for that defiled heart. And the Bible says that God provided that remedy on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have, praise God, have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Oh, I like that. God says while we had a defiled heart, a deceived heart, a darkened heart, while we were sinners, what did he do? Christ died for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, this is the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And so God's remedy for that deceived heart, that darkened heart, that defiled heart, that desperately wicked heart is provided on the cross where the Lord Jesus took your place and mine. Where the scripture says that he suffered and he took my place, he took my punishment. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. Spiritual healing. That's the only way we can have a heart that is changed. That's the only way that we can have a spiritual heart transplant. There's no other way. God has diagnosed the heart and God has provided the remedy for our spiritual heart condition. Paul, writing to the Romans in chapter 10, writes these words, and he says, but what saith it? Quoting from the Old Testament, the word is nigh thee, in thy heart and in thy mouth, that is the word of faith that we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, literally confess Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is God's remedy to have a heart that's changed. When the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, how can that be? Are we going to reverse the whole process of human birth? and I go back into the womb as a baby and be born, the Lord Jesus says, no, Nicodemus. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's a human birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And if you are going to have a spiritual heart transplant, you've got to receive the spiritual birth. It's the birth that comes from above. It is it's not of any human reasoning or human working. It is all of God. And if the Lord, by His Word and the Holy Spirit tonight, maybe has exposed your heart as being deceived, your spiritual heart, your spiritual being, as being not only a deceived heart, not only a darkened heart, but a defiled heart, then I have good news. Oh, the good news is this. That if you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing the fact that you're a sinner, repenting of your sin. Repenting means to have a change of heart, a change of mind about your sin of self and of God, an about face. And receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life. The Bible says, you will be born again. The Bible says, you will have a spiritual heart transplant. I want to tell you something. The Scripture says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's a spiritual heart transplant. You can leave this chapel tonight, the grounds, and go home. Rejoicing in the fact that your heart has been changed, transformed. You have, in the words of the Lord Jesus, you have been born again. The second time you've been born from above. If God has touched your heart tonight and spoken to you, and you feel and you realize that you need a spiritual heart transplant, the good news is that you only need to come. Just as you are, not trying to do anything, but just coming and saying, oh God, I am a sinner, a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Lord, I am a sinner. I know it. I recognize it. Lord, I come tonight and I accept your gift of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive him as my personal Savior. That if you will believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. You'll have a spiritual heart transplant tonight. I'm going to ask that we bow our hearts and our heads in prayer. Very quietly. And while we have a quiet time of prayer. Is there someone here tonight that would like to have that spiritual heart transplant? The Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, into your life, to save you. Is there someone here tonight that wants to have that salvation, that spiritual heart transformation? Before we go to prayer, anyone? Before we go to prayer. Now you may not raise your hand, but you may be concerned. Would you not speak to someone here? Would you not just let somebody know that you want to be saved tonight? You're concerned. I want to tell you, there'll be no greater joy for some of us here tonight to sit down with the open scriptures and point you to the Savior. I want to tell you, that's a joy that we all would love to have. A privilege. Father, we pray thy blessing upon the word that has been spoken. We thank you, our Father, for the truth of the Word of God, which tells us that the spiritual person needs to have a spiritual transformation, a spiritual heart transplant. Lord, you know the hearts of everyone here. No one is hidden. No one is hidden or is under some covering that you cannot see, that we know this. We just pray tonight, our Father, that we will realize that we may deceive others, but there's no deception. You know everything about us. You know everything. We pray tonight, our Father, that someone here, under the sound of this message, will accept the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, we pray. And we'll give you the glory, our Father, as we ask these things in that precious name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing an old-time song that sort of answers this. 179. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross, is thy heart right with God. What a hymn to close out with. The Lord bless you. The meeting may close, but the invitation remains open. We stand as the musicians play and sing this old hymn, and then the meeting is over. Thank you so much for your kind attention, and God bless you. What?